Everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. Today is Sunday, January 26th. We are coming to you live. My name is Cheryl, Catherine Smith.
And my name is Ash Riot.
Riot. R-R-R-R-I-O-T.
Exactly.
Riot.
Yeah, that's my new song.
And I'm Smith.
Yeah, that's our new song.
Is it?
Okay. Maybe not.
You're writing without me. That's fine.
That's okay. That was just a jam.
That was a jam.
Yeah, just me just kind of collecting my thoughts.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, as you text everybody to let people know that we are actually live on the air.
No, I actually finished. I already texted people.
Oh, you were playing Candy Crush.
No, I haven't played Candy Crush for at least like
2 minutes.
2 days.
I'm teasing
at least 2 days.
I am so teasing you because I am equally guilty.
She's on like level 90 something.
91.
And I'm on level, I was on a different level, but I got
a new phone
yesterday. So, well, a new to me phone from my fabulous Uncle Jim. I got an iPhone 4 or whatever. So, yeah, so I had to start new. I was already on like level 40 something on Candy Crush and now I had to start over.
So now she is super, super good because she's on the bottom level. So you feel really good. Don't you feel good when you do anything well?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
I feel extra good when I can do something really well.
Well, clean my glasses then.
Because I don't do that. I don't do glasses well.
Okay.
Maybe ask your mom.
So how is everyone doing tonight? That's where you reply, great, Ash and Cheryl.
Riot.
We're doing good, too. We actually came over to my folks' house and decided to do a little bit of jamming because that's also where I teach music. So.
And where the studio is.
So we have a nice room up here full of equipment.
DIY area.
So that's, we had some Mexican food and came and just chilled and jammed for a bit.
Jammed. We're jamming. I'm getting pretty good on the drums, if I do say so
myself.
You
really are. It's quite, yeah, I was like, whoa, you are getting good.
I've decided I really love the drums. And have been jamming drums for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I might eventually be the hologram drummer, but I don't think so. I'm not.
No, you're not allowed to because you're the singer. So.
Okay. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not like, what's that guy? Don Henley from the Eagles who can drum and sing.
My dad does the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Your
really
dad.
Good. Yeah.
I'm amazed actually when drummers can sing. Now, I know I watch guitars. You know, lead guitarists and rhythm guitarists play and sing at the same time. I watch bassists do that. But for whatever reason, I think that drummers playing the drums and singing lead, that kind of confounds me.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have special powers.
Yeah, I agree too. I can like very little, like I can't concentrate too much, but
you can play guitar and sing lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easily, right?
I can play lead guitar and sing.
But you can't play rhythm and guitar and sing?
No, I can do both.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can play guitar and sing.
Yeah.
But you can't really play drums
no.
and sing. Yeah, it takes left brain thing.
It's a special breed
and
thing.
And for you
I can't do it.
We're mostly right brained.
Yeah.
Yes, we are right
brained.
I'm like
quarter brained.
I like how it takes us 5-10 minutes to get into our topic.
I know, but you know what? This is a good thing. That just means that we are very, very
talkative.
No, we are random and we are always interesting. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's random. We're talking about jamming. We're talking about today being Sunday, today being extra foggy. We've had the wildest weather here in Vancouver for the last few times. I guess we're having cold fronts hitting hot fronts, hitting warm fronts, hitting medium cold fronts. And as a result, we have this really, really super cool, yet a little bit creepy fog.
It's creepy. It's for sure creepy.
It's really, you know, fog has a real vibe. It doesn't have this, like, kind of an energy, like, you know. No wonder they use fog machines when they want to create some kind of mystery, whether it's on, in a performance or during Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Halloween and creepy and fog, we have an interesting topic.
Hey, very good lead-in.
Did you like that segue?
I liked it.
You know,
I kind of coming right
into it. Tonight's topic is haunted locations. We should have an echo. Haunted locations, locations, locations.
Yep, and it is quite a beautiful topic.
Well, this is the blurb that we have now on our website. If you're interested in seeing our shows, we're going to be putting them on our website. BBS Radio has changed the format, so we're not able to as easily show you what our topics are. So check out our websites now.
Yeah, I have
our main website, because Ash is in charge. She is our,
going to that.
She's our techie. And she has been putting our topics up on www.hollow-gram.com, and you can check that out
it
to
doesn't,
see.
And it looks like we have less show, like, it looks like we've been on the air a lot less than we have, because I don't update it when we have a rerun.
Yeah.
Like, I
we've
just
done
had
reruns in,
all
in the
original
last,
shows.
Yeah, in the last 3 years we've done some reruns, because we've had, you know, things to do, like go away or something, and it's not as easy to be on the air. But I want to just do the blurb here that you've got on our website that says, those who have passed away are all around us, but sometimes in some places, this energy can be felt more than in others. So let's talk about why or even how. Are there such things as portals, haunted houses, haunted locations? You're free to ask us anything or share your thoughts or even your experiences, because that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to talk about our favorite locations where we have indeed experienced spirit activity that is unfamiliar to us. Unfamiliar.
And you know what the funny thing about it, about this show is? I never ran it by Cheryl.
She didn't at all.
I just sprung it on her and did it on and said the topic last show. I was like, oh, and next week is haunted locations.
The next show is haunted locations. I'm looking at her, what?
But you know what? I had help from friends, so.
I know you did. That's why I said spirit activity that is unfamiliar. Because every one of us has regular spirit activity around us. Whether we are aware of it or not doesn't matter. The fact is that you do.
Yeah.
And so this could mean your spirit guides. It could also mean people that have passed on who were close to you. Who either stay with you quite a lot or just pop in occasionally.
Yeah.
A lot of your, perhaps your father has passed away like mine, or your mother or your sister or brother or even your child. And they have the ability to pop by or hang around. And especially if you're in a situation where you feel that you need extra comfort, that's when oftentimes you'll be even, it's sort of amped up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of us, when we're coming to understand the realities of our existence as opposed to what we believe them to be, the more we expand, the more we recognize. I was saying to our friend, we had coffee with our friend the other day, and if you're listening, Leanne, hello. It's wonderful to hear.
Hi, Leanne.
It will be wonderful if you wish to call in, but it's wonderful knowing that you're listening if you are. We were talking with Leanne about this very thing and about people around us and about what happens when we die and on. So we're basically wanting to talk and focus a little more on maybe even those of you who don't have, you have had experiences, but you don't quite understand what they are. Maybe there's a lot of questioning around things that have happened to you or around you. And we'll talk about different ways of sensing this kind of energy, because it's not one particular way. You can sense this energy through any of your five senses, correct?
Correct.
So you can actually smell something. Like if there's, for example...
Yeah, that's what you're really good at.
Yeah, I smell a lot. So if someone who has... I smell a lot. I'm smelly. If there's someone who has passed on that used to wear gardenia perfume, for example, and suddenly you smell gardenias, then that's their way, because they want you to know who it is and give you a quick identifier. You can hear things.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually hear things in the physical world, or you can hear them as if you hear a thought. Mm-hmm. There's two different ways of hearing. You can actually hear them with your physical body, like somebody just crashes something beside you and you hear it. Mm-hmm. You can hear in that way.
Which happens at the apartment a lot.
Yeah. Or you can hear with that the same kind of hearing you have when you have a thought or when you're thinking of a poem. You mm-hmm. can, you know, you've got that in your head. You've got a sort of an audible connection with that. You can actually feel, and I think that most people prefer not to have the feeling sensation, especially if you're being touched, because it's, for whatever reason, most people kind of get creeped out by that.
Well, that is tough, but I mean, it's not as, like, honestly, I think most people prefer to have, like, the sight.
Oh, yeah, but we're talking right now about feeling.
I know, but what I'm tying it in. So, most people, I think, would prefer to have the sight, but the whole feeling thing, it feels a lot more real than even seeing it, which is weird. Because, you know, people say seeing is believing and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can kind of see something out of the corner of my eye, and that'll just be kind of like, okay, whatever. But if something brushes up against me and I'm alone in a room, that is more to me. Feeling is believing rather than seeing.
Well,
even though I see everything, but...
Yeah, see, I don't mind feeling at all.
Really?
I don't mind it at all because I'm so familiar with this. It doesn't mm-hmm. bother me. It doesn't scare me. But I think a lot of people, it would frighten them if they feel something, say, for example, brush against their leg mm-hmm. and there's nothing beside them that could possibly have brushed against their leg. There's no dog, there's no cat, there's no person. So that freaks them out. That's what I'm getting at, is that some people... Feeling is not really something they want to kind of... That's something where I think when you're more comfortable with this kind of a presence that you can handle it. Yeah. But I think in the beginning it freaks you out. And this is why we're talking about...
It still freaks me out sometimes.
Really?
If I'm alone or I'm not, like... Put it this way. I can see, as everyone maybe knows, I have the gift since I was 3 years old of being able to see spirits. I don't really tell too many people that. I just opened a hole puncher that's shaped like unicorns, and all the unicorns fell all over the place. But anyway, because, like, I see, like, say I saw a spirit of my uncle or something just across the room from me.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I was touched on the arm or something like that. Great. But if I don't see anything and something brushes against me, okay, how about no? I'd rather not have that happen.
Yeah, but that's because you're different, because you see differently than most people. So for someone like me, I don't see the same way you do. I see in a different way.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't bother me. I'm really saying to all of you is there's many different ways that you can experience spirit being there. And you can use your five senses. And another way of feeling is not only actually a literal brushing against you or the sense of some kind of pressure on a part of your body, or even I get a lot on my head. I get a lot of head stuff happening for me. But you can also feel the cold stuff. You know how you hear a lot about cold spots and whatnot? And
like at the Neptune.
And we talked a little bit about that a couple weeks ago, and we'll touch on it a little more tonight about that feeling. Yeah. So it's an actual physical feeling. It's not something just touching your body or having a sense of something touching your body. It's an actual shift in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So your body feels a difference and a change in temperature.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the sight. So you want to talk a little bit about sight?
Well, sight to me has been... I honestly, there's not a lot I have to say about it because I haven't really had anyone else's experience with it. For me, it's always been... natural for me to see, for me to communicate. And I've had even like different Facebook friends message me and stuff and say, well, you know, I heard this, can you talk to my dead grandmother, can you do this? And, you know, I don't believe in all this, but I'll believe then.
Yeah.
And see, that's like, well, first of all, how do you know your grandma is gonna want to talk to you? I can't guarantee that she's going to be there if, you know, I try and even meditate on it or something. Like, I can't guarantee. So if I come up with nothing, it's not that I have to prove anything to anyone. It's that a lot of times...
It's because she's not there.
Exactly. It's because she's not there. And you know what? Maybe I'm picking up somebody else as well and saying, well, this is the person who's here. You know, they're not telling me their name. A lot of times they will tell me their name. A lot of times they won't. And I remember this one time that I had done like a demonstration. I don't do them anymore, but I was doing a demonstration in Surrey, and there was this young girl that was there, and I kept feeling, and then I kept seeing. So I felt first, then I saw. There was this younger guy, and I said, holy, like, he was killed on, like, a transit, SkyTrain transit or something.
Mm.
And it was just, you didn't even know him, you just met him that night, and he wanted to tell you that he really appreciated you being there when he passed away. And the girl just started crying and crying and crying, and I said, and I guess all her family who was there, they knew about the situation as well. And I said, his name was Matthew. And then everyone just started bawling their eyes out because that was his name. But I mean, at the same time, what if he didn't tell me his name? Would that mean as much? Like, I think a lot of it is people want to identify with facts rather than emotions. And that's a real hard place to be, you know, whether you're trying to contact somebody in the physical world or not. I mean, it's...
In the non-physical world, you mean?
Physical or non-physical world.
Okay.
It's like people want facts. Like, even if you're trying to identify with somebody here, you're calling your friend and they're having this problem or something, and they want to hear, well, you're going to go to the first aid counter and you're going to get a Band-Aid and you're going to put it on and you're going to spray this on it. In 2 weeks, it's going to come off. You're going to be fine. You're never going to have that problem again. You know what I mean? Rather than just saying, oh my God, that must really, really hurt. Well, you know what? Just try not to think about it. You know, do this, whatever. People connect with facts and science a lot easier than something that you can't see. But when it's people that someone can see, but is doubted, it's really hard to grasp. And that's why even like with this haunted locations kind of show that we have, I think it takes an open person. I'm not going to say vulnerable, because a lot of vulnerable people aren't open-minded. But it just takes a lot of open-mindedness to go, okay, I feel something, and not dismiss it. Because I've been there, like when I was younger and stuff, traveling with my parents, I'd feel something and I'd see things and I'd go, what was that? Oh, nothing. And I just pushed it out of my mind, but I knew something was happening.
Well, it's kind of scary for a lot of people to think that life continues, or that there are other beings or other energies that other than what we can see with our eyes. It can be discombobulating for many.
Especially as a kid, though.
Like, well, but children see so easily.
Well, I didn't even tell my parents this. They probably don't know, if I don't know if they're listening, but remember I was in California. I think I was in San Jose, and I was six, and I wasn't feeling well, and they had to get me out of the car and lay me on this fake grass of this car dealership on the side of a road in San Jose so I could throw up, like I was car sick. And I remember seeing just hundreds and hundreds of people on the roads just walking. I remember seeing them walking down the sidewalk. Like, and I just was like, this is just so busy. But then I thought, well, mate, this is San Jose. And I didn't know, but then I put it together later. It's like, you know, I dismissed that and just thought it was
normal. You just thought it was normal. Yeah. It was a busy city, and it wasn't. It was completely filled with people in the physical world, when in fact it wasn't. From the non-physical world mixed with the people from the physical world, right? So then it makes it even larger and more.
And I'm so open now. Like, I never told people any of this before.
Well, me neither. I mean, this is, like, I talked about this before, and I said to you, like, this is a very private part of my life. And, I mean, there's been a lot of things in my life that has been private, and then I've been compelled, I believe, by spirit to share it, because it's just allowing others to know that they're truly not alone in many of these life experiences that I've had. And this is one of the life experiences. And it's not anything new, although many people might think it's new because I've never really talked to people about it. I just have lived and experienced it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, very, very much on my own, very privately, until I actually got involved with a spiritualist church and stumbled upon that church, not even knowing it was a spiritualist church, just loving what they said, because they were all about, they had this, you know, credos, I guess, kind of like their mission statement at the front. I had been attending a spirit guide class, I believe, and I saw, oh, this is a church too, and I liked what they said. It was all about accepting all and diversity and on and on, and I thought, this is really cool. No mention whatsoever of, you know, the illusion or the connection to the spirit world. And then once I started attending and saw that that was part of that particular church, you know, it kind of threw me at the beginning, but then it made sense to me because I, you know, I truly believe that there are no mistakes, that there, in one of the songs that I've sang on my solo album is called On My Way. And it says, there are no mistakes and many paths to take. You need the courage and the confidence. And I believe that there are no coincidences, that anything that happens in each of our lives, even if we don't like it or we dismiss it and say, this is wrong, it's not wrong. None of it's wrong. We can feel in the moment that it feels shitty and that could be construed as wrong. But, yeah, I believe I really paid attention. I'm very open-minded. I've progressively gotten more open-minded, but I've always been open-minded ever since I was young. But I've even gotten, my mind had to even expand beyond what I thought was super open-mindedness.
Oh, yeah.
To get to this place now. And who knows what's going to be in store for me in 2 years, 1 year,
exactly.
10 years.
I mean, none of us ever know. And that's why I think the open-mindedness is key. And before we get into really kind of delving into some locations, I'm going to give you the call-in number. It's 888-627-6008. Call in. Even if you're a first-time caller, anytime. I know there's we got a lot of listeners, but a lot of people are shy to call in or don't really know what to say. But just call in and say hi if you want. So 888-627-6008. Tell us how open your minds are.
And also about your experiences, if you've had any. If you're willing to share them. If you're shy and don't want to say who you really are, call yourself John Doe.
Or call yourself Ted Bundy.
No.
He's dead.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that would be creepy. That'd be real creepy.
No, we don't want that kind of energy. Although, I mean, people like Ted Bundy.
The reason I said it is because I saw a site today that people were believing that Ted Bundy was basically had reincarnated as like this meditation teacher. I'll try and find it and show you that.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that he was now focusing on sending love and like to I guess do over.
Who knows? I don't
if
know.
You're up there, call
who,
us.
Who am I to judge? But what I was getting at is, you know, there are people, you know, that have decided to be the darker parts of themselves and to indulge the darker parts of themselves, like Ted Bundy and Hitler. And there's all sorts of people that we can think of with regards to that, the indulgence of the darker parts of themselves and the exercising of it. And I don't mean exercising OR like the priest exercising the demon. I mean exercising like
there is no such thing.
Like using it, like, you know, practicing the darkness. No, the reason why I really truly feel that when people have made that decision, when they cross over, when they pass away and transform, that of course that they're faced with what they have done. And it's not so much, in my mind, it's not so much a hell or a purgatory as such. It's more you actually feel. You feel what you have done and sense and see the harm and you feel it and it doesn't feel good. And of course you're going to want to not feel that way. So, but that being said, I'm not very, this is interesting because we were talking with Leanne very specifically also about darker spirits versus lighter spirits.
Mm-hmm. She's very insightful.
And that's a whole other area. But, you know, when someone's in transition and when somebody is still discovering and letting go of that kind of darkness, it's not personally someone that I would want to kind of have hanging around me. And that's what I meant by don't have, I mean, maybe Ted Bundy has totally transformed now and he is that guy. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't met him in the non-physical. So I can't say that, but I can say, this is what I would say to everyone listening. First of all, one of the things that came up to me when I first was introduced to the idea of people who have passed on, and my first introduction when I went to my very first service at this particular church, was there was a woman at the front who later became my friend, and she was doing a reading, and she said there was a gentleman in the room, and his name was Henry, and she went on and on to talk about him. And she was asking who he belonged to because he hadn't identified himself as belonging to anybody in the crowd. And she was saying, who are you? Like, who are you out there? And I knew it was me, but I was too embarrassed and too frightened and actually quite shocked to lift my hand up. And it took me a while before I actually said, yes, that's my uncle. And the things that were said, there's no way she could have known. She didn't know me. There's no way anybody could have known. And it hit me. It just went right to my heart. It hit me so hard emotionally, I just started to weep. And I couldn't control it, and I am not a crier, as you know. It's, I don't
cry.
When
you cry, it's pretty...
When I cry, and it's not because I have this strong, I'm not going to cry. It's just the way I am. Mm-hmm. And I do cry, you know, I get emotional. I cry happy tears a lot. I cry more about, and I also have empathic tears. I cry for others. It's easier for me to cry for others than even for myself. But in this instance, I was just weeping because I knew it was Henry, and he was my godfather. He passed away. Him and my father died within a year of each other. He was my godfather, and he was my uncle. And there was a connection. I was very young. I was only 8 years old, and loved him. He was cool. He was so cool. He was a cool dude. and it was very powerful for me because there was a part of me that goes, well, who cares really? I mean, there's that thought, like, who really cares about people when they pass away? Because I'm in the living world. I'm dealing with the day-to-day stuff, you know, what's my purpose? What's my divine life purpose? Who am I? What do I want to do? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to be creative? You know, who am I? Am I a wife? Should I be a wife? You know, all these questions that I would have as my day-to-day questions in the living world. And there was a part of me that kind of wondered, why would I want or why should I connect to those who have passed or to the other realms or the other dimensions? Because I'm thinking in that way. I'm thinking that I'm very much in this particular way of being and that I shouldn't be distracted. But I have come full circle around that kind of idea because what I believe, why I had to open myself up to this, it's not only about healing, because there was a lot of healing as a result of that message that was given. There was healing with my relationship with Henry. There was an understanding. It was my healing because it was more, the way he died was so tragic, and there was more, I was okay with it more. Mm-hmm. So it helped me.
I understand.
And anything that impacts us from a healing perspective is going to impact us in our physical day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I've come to know is that just even knowing and having these experiences with people who have passed, and they're very viable and they're very everyday. My life is, it's every day. It's not just once in a while. At the beginning, it was once in a while, but then it, as I opened up and said okay to it, basically said yes to it.
Yeah.
Accepted it. Then it was, I knew that it was more, it's a part of my life now.
Exactly.
So here I am thinking, why do I even want to share this with everybody? Because it's so personal and most people don't know how to react to it unless people are also sixth sensory. Gift, you know, they have a sense of their sixth sense. People who don't are going to look at you like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, ultimately, who cares if that's what they feel? Because the fact is this is my truth. This is what I know to be true based on fact, not based on my fallacy or my imagination gone wild. And I think that it's imperative that people don't believe that death is the end.
Well, that's
I think it would change the way they live.
That would change the entire world.
Not to say that you sit on your butt until you die. I mean, of course you want to have this life experience and have these experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
Of being in the physical world and do all the things you want to do and be all the things you want to be. But at the same time, don't feel pressured. Don't feel... You know, I like the idea of a bucket list, but I also don't think that we should sort of constrain ourselves within our lifetimes to focusing on doing 100 things on that bucket list and letting go of some of the more immediate, in the moment, miracles. And that's, because we're so focused on the doing.
And see, that's going back to keeping open-minded is like the miracles part, because so many people are closed-minded to it. And that's just keeping an open mind and being open to miracles is one of the probably top lessons that I've learned in my life. And especially being open just to things changing and shifting your perception. I mean, you know, back to the location part of it. I mean, sometimes when I was younger, even now, I'd go someplace and I wouldn't really understand why it meant a lot to me. And it would just feel like I had a pull to it. And I just went, oh, it just, you know, chalked it up to, oh, I like this place or something. But then as I kind of just remained open-minded and kept going back, Just pay attention to those signs. Like, pay attention to, like, how do you feel in this certain place? Like, you feel like there's certain energy here. Do you feel anything? Just stay open-minded because more will be revealed. Like, that happened to me at Cultus Lake when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I remember I got lost in the forest once with my cousin, and it's like that fear turned that place really sour for me. But then when I went back and I actually started to open myself up and feel energies, I saw a lot of things and felt a lot more things. It's more important, definitely, to get your own expectations out of the way. And, you know, things happen, they just hit you out of the blue, right in the face, like when we were at the Neptune in Seattle.
Well, I want to get, you know, this whole idea of haunted, we've had a show about haunted before, and, mm-hmm. and you had titled this show Haunted Locations, mm-hmm. and I think the reason why you titled it Haunted Locations is because people understand what haunted means.
Yeah, exactly.
But I personally am not a fan of the word haunted.
Mm-mm.
I don't like
it has
the
a
word
negative...
ghost.
Yeah.
I'm adverse to it.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm trying to think, I was thinking, what would I give as a different word instead of haunted? You know, something that's a little more, not only truthful, but doesn't separate us. Because haunted is like it's a separation.
The best word for me is charged.
Okay, so a charged location.
Yeah.
How about spiritually charged?
Yeah. Spiritually charged.
Paranormally charged. Paranormally. Well, yeah, that whole paranormal, though, too, is kind of like abnormal.
Like, yeah, it is weird.
I like spiritually charged. That's a good one. I wanted to also, one thing I was alluding to and I didn't get into, we were talking about the darker energies. You know, I truly don't believe, I think a lot of people are afraid that these spirits, if they don't know them, like if it isn't your grandma who loved you like crazy, and it's somebody that you've gone into a location and they're there and they might be, maybe you perceive them as a darker entity or mm-hmm. a darker spirit. This sense of, oh my God, that darker entity will enter me and I will have to go and be, you know, exorcised with an O by a Catholic priest. I really want to totally disqualify that belief system because you can't be overtaken. It's not like you're just sort of sitting around and, you know, this dark spirit's going to jump into you and take over your body because they just wanted to. I mean, I think that's, again...
That can't happen.
But people believing it is also part of the fear base that we find in a lot of philosophy and religions because, you know, is there that sense if you don't do A, B, and C, the dark D may happen to you? And I think it's imperative that people recognize that that's an impossibility. And that's a whole other show when we start talking about people's experiences with possession and on because I don't even want to go there for this show because that would be a totally other, you know, a total different topic that would take at least an hour for us to discuss about this idea of possession, dark demon, demonic possession. But I just want to say this very clearly that it's important that you recognize that a shift in energies at times is no different than a shift in personalities. For example, you are not identical in personality to your Uncle Bill, and I'm not identical in personality to Ash. But it does go deeper than that as well, because the energy of a situation can also be felt quite abruptly and abundantly. And if it impacts even one person greatly, just as a film or an intense novel, like it impacts you, you know how when you watch a film or listen to a great piece of music
mm-hmm.
or read an amazing novel, like you are impacted. And so you need to sort of expect to feel these kind of shifts and changes in the way that you experience things. Then you'll be in for one heck of a ride with regards to connecting with the other side. So if you kind of connect to that sense of your body, how your body's feeling, how you feel, for example, like I just said, like you listen to your favorite song and it just lifts you up. You actually feel it in your solar plexus. You can feel like the energy within your body rising with joy, with bliss, whatever you want to call it. Sort of connect that kind of an experience with the same way that you connect to a spirit because they can bring about that kind of same type of feeling. So you want to expect to feel shifts and changes. The only thing that you should remember is please don't fear anything because you are physically in control and your energy is dominant over spirits and circumstances in the non-physical world. So you need to have faith and trust that this is the truth, and that you're not delving into something that is evil, that, you know, that you will be punished for. That's all fallacy. That's all just a bunch of stuff that, you know, was said, and it wasn't even said in truth. It was said because it was about control. And it's just really about practicing open-mindedness. And I do truly believe that when you connect to the other side, it opens you to so much more information.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much information that you will receive, that you can understand to be true, that you will... It opens you... For me, I'll give you an example. What it's opened me up to, first of all, the most important thing in the entire world and planets and planetary system is love. That's the one thing that I've learned through all mm-hmm. of this experience, is that the power of love, there is no other. Love is the only truth. That we have created a lot of illusion because it's about experience. It's, you know, our fear has created a lot of the darker things in this world. And that love truly is the only real thing that can undark, make things no longer dark.
Well,
that's what I've learned from this.
I agree, and I think it's that fear that look how much we overlook just because of being afraid. Like, look at how I dismissed things when I was a kid, seeing all the people on the street. Look at how I dismissed, you know, a beautiful forest because I got lost in it once. Look at how I, you know, people dismiss, you know, someone passing and them trying to contact them from the other side. Look at how we forget. Look at how we are in fear of it, dismiss it, and miss it.
Yet how many of us, when we've lost somebody, I think, you know, it's really hard. I know because I've lost people who are extremely close to me. Not everybody I've known who has lost people in death. I've known people that are very frightened of losing people in death because they don't know what it will feel like or what the experience will be. And there's many of you out there who are listening who have lost and have lost big and have felt it's, you know, like mm-hmm. you're quite literally like your heart's being ripped out of your chest. It's a horrible feeling to experience death as the ultimate end. And I think that when we are feeling that it is truly the end, you know, then it feels like despairing because you're like, I'm never going to see that person again, ever, 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 ever. And it's extremely painful to have that mm-hmm. thought. But for what, when you realize, or if you come to realize or come to feel and sense that they're not gone, that they're still with you, it's just a new way of being with you. Then
that's the key right there, a new way of being with you.
Then there's a lot of freedom in that. And to me, I've said this before, it's like someone saying, I'm going on vacation
mm-hmm.
and I won't see you until you meet me mm-hmm. at my place of vacationing.
Yeah.
That to me is what death is. So we have Ash's mom on line one. It's Ash's mom. Hey, Ash's mom, Janice, on line one. How are you today?
Fine. How are you doing?
We're good. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. We don't have a lot of time. We've got another person waiting on the line, but we definitely know you know about this subject.
And we have been waiting to hear your pearls of wisdom.
Okay, I wanted to tell you one thing, and it's about children and how children have the ability, but they grow out of it or they're made to believe it's not true, imaginary friends. And I want to tell you about my niece's little girl, Aubrey, and her grandpa, Randy, passed away. And this little girl, she would... I gave a picture of her grandpa, her grandma, and her because the grandpa died when he was, my cousin Randy, when the baby was 5 months old. And then I gave another picture of Randy as a baby, and I put that, Courtney put that picture of Randy as a baby in the living room in the window, hard to get at behind the couch. And the other one is in the baby's bedroom of the three of them. And so she knew that as Papa. She's just over a year. She's going to be two later on this year. But anyway, that little baby goes every day to that picture of Randy as a baby, and she picks it up and she hugs it and she kisses it and carries it around the house and points to it and says, "Papa." Now, they didn't even tell her who that baby was. I mean, they didn't tell the baby who that picture was as a baby, and that was her grandpa. So there you go. And this is a child that can't even speak yet. She's just over a year. But she knows that that was her papa, you know, as a baby. So there you go, babies.
That's proof right there. That is proof right there, because she wouldn't have known even how to say his name, let alone, you know, they can't really sit down and say, "Your papa died."
Yeah, but what I imagine her experience would be is that Randy's actually there showing the picture and saying, "That's me. That's papa."
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's
and when she's gurgling in her crib at night and she's fussing or this or that, he's with her. So she recognizes him. And you're right. He went over and said, "That's papa."
That's me.
They didn't say that was. Nobody told her that was papa.
Yeah. That's
you know, cool. So there you go. A baby. So there you go. It's real. I just wanted to pass that on and let you guys know. And let you take your other caller, but there. Okay? See?
Was
there
something else you wanted to say?
Yeah,
you're talking
about children.
You said about children. Was that what this was about? There was
well,
two things
children,
you said.
That's just it. Children have this sense, and it's stifled in them. It's feared in them as they grow up. It's taken away from them. But there you go. Like children, babies know they have the sense. Everybody has the sense, but it's almost frightened out of people as they grow up.
That's a good way to put it. It's frightened out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Ashes Mom.
Ashes.
Okay,
Ashes
I
Mom.
Love you guys. Ashes Mom. Where? Online Mom.
Online
Mom. Well, thank you, Janice.
Okay. Okay,
children.
Love you guys.
Okay, love you too. Bye.
It's Ashes Mom, it's Ashes Mom, it's Ashes Mom. It's Ashes Mom, it's Ashes Mom, it's Ashes Mom. It's Ashes Mom, it's Ashes Mom, it's Ashes Mom.
She is cool enough to get a song.
That's right. She got an intro and an outro.
And for anyone who cares, and I'm sure a lot of you, well, not for anyone who cares, but I mean for people who are in the Surrey location, you may all know that my mother speaks regularly and sometimes at
regularly and sometimes
at the Inner Garden Chapel. They moved it to the Calmar restaurant, I guess, in Surrey.
Calmar.
So you can catch my mom speaking about things on, you know, on any given Sunday. And also, we would like to welcome who?
Betty, on line two from BC. Hi, Betty.
Hi, how are you doing, girls?
We're good. It's been a while. It's wonderful to hear that you are joining us. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting conversation that you're having tonight.
Thanks.
It's all random. We just go any direction and we just don't fight it.
Yep, I think that's great. So I'm going to share something that I wanted to when you were speaking about how a spirit will either touch you or do something to let you know that they're there and to make you aware that they're there. This is something that happened after my father passed away. Before that, he had given me he'd bought this. It was a plastic. Lamp. It had a light bulb in it that you had to plug in, and it was also a music box, and it was shaped like an altar, and on the front part, the bottom front part of it, it had a picture of the Last Supper, and then it sort of went up in tiers, and then at the top there was a little a statue of Jesus on it, and he had passed away. And his funeral, we were going to have his funeral that day in a little town where he was born. And I was laying in bed and thinking, oh, gosh, Dad, you know, I wonder how you are. I wonder where you are. And this, like I said, it was a music box. But it was one of those ones that had the wind-up thing on the back that you had to turn. to get it to play music. And I was laying in bed, and I was thinking about Dad and about the service, and there was a storm that day, and all sorts of things happened. And so I was up all night cleaning the basement because of a flood and that type of thing. I was really tired, and it was about 5:30 in the morning. And I'm laying in bed thinking of all this stuff. And the music box started playing.
Wow.
And at first, it just gave me a real start. And then I thought, then I just relaxed and I laid down. And I just listened to it playing. It didn't play for a long time, but I looked behind the music box to see if the little handle was turning, and the handle was not turning. And you know how music boxes are. Sometimes the handle has to turn to make the music. And yeah. After it's wound up. And it wasn't moving at all, and it only played for maybe 30 seconds and then stopped. But I just had this overwhelming feeling of peace that he was there and saying everything's going to be all right. So I just wanted to share that with you. There's numerous things that have happened to me, but that was something that I thought was kind of unique because I know that it takes a lot of energy for spirit to actually touch something to get it moving. Mm-hmm. And
That's
something
true.
I wanted to share with you.
Oh, thank you, Betty. That's a wonderful.
It's a wonderful story because actually, believe it or not, like it takes a lot of energy for spirits to reach out that way. But believe it or not, that is the easiest way for them to show themselves sometimes is through electronics
energy,
and things that are easily manipulated like that. But I mean, not that it's easy to manipulate. It's quite hard, but it's common that a lot of people would think, well, you know, something's not there, it's thin air, how can it move something? But it's a lot easier for mm-hmm. spirit to communicate through energetic technologies than just, you know, to maybe slam a door, which does happen. That's happened to mm-hmm. Cheryl, that's happened to me, but that's amazing, like, to hear it, that a music box can just...
But it makes sense to me because, again, like, it shows as well that it shows that he's very aware of what you're thinking as well. It's not just what you're verbalizing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It's what you're thinking,
yeah.
And your father was there, right? And he hears
you. That happened years and years ago.
And he knows where your heart is. And what a beautiful way to communicate. Like I was saying before, there's certain people that they do it in such a way where it's so dead on, you know it's them right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be him.
Definitely.
It's him, right?
Oh, yeah, I knew it right away. And that's why, like, at first it startled me. And I, you make an involuntary move to sort of jump up, and then I just, like, in a split second, it was like I knew it was Dad, you know, and I just laid back down and just relaxed. But I know that energetically, a spirit has a high vibration I think when it's pure love, the vibration is naturally at a higher rate anyway, energetically, to be able to do those types of things.
That's a perfect point.
But anyway, your show is really interesting. So
thank you.
I've been listening and being quite intrigued.
I appreciate you are very good. You know about this subject matter because I know you know based on my past with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate mm-hmm. you sharing that. And I'm really excited that you shared the vibration of love being the highest vibration because that's true. And this is where... this vibration, vibrationally, energetically, when, you know, passing over, you recognize and know love is the only true thing. And so it makes sense to me that it's being utilized, the sensation, and it is about love. It's wanting to lovingly communicate with you, lovingly connect with you, lovingly allow you to know that there is nothing to worry about, nothing to be in pain about, that... Of course, we are in pain because we miss them physically. It's a drag not to be able to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Dad," or just to say, "Hey, Dad, mm-hmm. I need a hug," right? But it's learning like a new language. And I'm sure you probably have a relationship even now with your father. Is that true?
Yes, and with my mother, with everyone that has passed, like they'll just pop into my head and. Or something will happen, and I know it's them. you know, like I like each one of them has a different, I don't know how to put it, energy.
Yeah,
and so you yeah, recognize you. I recognize who they are.
It's like an energetic fingerprint, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good way to put it. I'm gonna have to remember that.
Yeah, their energetic fingerprint, and it's knowing that, and that's what I. This is what I'm saying, and the beauty of this is that we can continue to have relationships, mm-hmm. because love never truly dies. It doesn't. It is eternal, and this is what we're experiencing when we're actually communicating with others who have passed on, mm-hmm. or angels, the angelic realm, mm-hmm. the deities, right? The divas. Well, thank you for sharing that, Betty, and it's so wonderful to hear your voice.
You're very welcome.
And we send you our love and our appreciation, and we know a bit of your story from our past shows. If listeners have been listening for the past 3 years, they've heard some of your very poignant and heartfelt stories.
Yeah, you've shared a lot of really great things, and anytime you want to call in, you're very welcome to.
Thank you. You always give
to
this program, so thank you for that.
And say hello to your mom for me, Ashley.
Oh, I will. We'll all find a time to get together.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that'd be great.
Share some sweet gas.
Well, pardon me?
I said share some sweet gas. All right.
Yes. So anyway, I really love what you girls are doing. You're doing a fantastic job, I think, anyway.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I think of you guys all the time, so sending you love all the time. Oh. So much success.
Thank you, Betty. The same to you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Take care,
bye,
Betty.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Well, there you go. That was great. We had two callers sharing about their experiences. I just wanted to touch on just one more location. We have a couple minutes here. I just remembered as I was speaking, because I wasn't really prepared too much for this show because I wasn't thinking. I thought about things and then I forgot because I didn't write mm-hmm. anything down. When I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, I went on a ghost walk. And Edinburgh, for those of you who know about Edinburgh, it is known as there was a lot of people that died in the Black Plague, and they had the underground closes. And so there are a lot of haunted activity that goes on in Edinburgh. They've got tons of ghost walks. And this one particular walk we went on was really interesting because we went to the underground where the Black Plague had hit, and it was there were a lot of deaths. And so we were going in through a lot of the different homes and of the time. And you could definitely feel energies, but you know, of course, there you've got the group too, and you have a lot of people because this is all about like the doo-doo-doo-doo part of hauntings. So you've got that kind of energy from the people leading the walk, like they're kind of leading you down that. You know, it's you want to distinguish between what is something that's being created by them and what is something that is being created. Like, that is truly real. But I did have an experience down there. There was one particular little girl, and she's actually known. There was a Japanese woman, an artist, who went down and saw her. And so she gave a lot of gifts, and people were giving gifts to this little girl in her room down. It was quite amazing. So if anybody ever goes to Edinburgh, I would highly recommend that you give it a go and try out, because there's so much energetically going on there. So if you want to know like highly haunted locations,
I think we should do
Edinburgh, Scotland.
I think we should do another show, like a part two, and call it haunted or charged locations, strictly locations. Because I remember there was a place in Victoria that my friend had done a paranormal research group activity with, and I would love to get a hold of her and have her speak, and we'll get to things.
We have so much we could talk about with spiritually charged locations, but we just want, the main thing is that recognize that it's not something to be afraid of.
Stay open-minded,
be open to what is going on all around you, whether you can see it or whether you can just feel it. So we love you. Kiss a tree. All the best. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
In the field of balanced intuitive healing and information, Cheryl Catherine Smith is one of a kind. Not only is she a musician, licensed spiritual minister, and co-host of the radio show Hologram Radio on BBS Radio, but she is also a sought-out and skilled intuitive medium and spiritual counselor. She takes you beyond the scope of space and time into firmly believing not only in yourself, but also the firm knowing in the continuation of life. There is no death, there is nothing to fear, and we are not alone. With years of experience in healing, health, ministry, and metaphysics, rest assured your time together will be everything you hoped. Half hour or full hour readings available by phone, email, or Skype. Email for info and bookings, Cheryl_CatherineSmith@hotmail.com.